the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave primitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityambi tatiyambi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Expressing itself, and there you are, in tune with it.
Yeah, it just was an energy shift, and it was fun because I woke up this morning just again. I didn't wake up in this. A little bit after I woke up and doing my recording and listening, to just come to that place of just being 100% committed to the life that I have in this moment, and you know, just seeing how, you know, all the dissatisfaction that's created by that constant
this honk.
Yeah, that other honk. Yeah, that's just honk, you know, just all the time.
I know, yeah.
And
it takes 100% commitment.
Yeah, it takes 100% commitment
not to listen to it, right? To come back and do the recording listening in the morning, to do everything we can to get in tune with that, because sometimes this will drag us out of that experience into
it's just right there all the time, you know, just ready and wanting to even, you know, do you really want to record and listen, you know, just how it does. So anyway, just knowing that that's the only sane life experience to have is to just be 100% with what life is giving me. Yeah. And so anyway,
it was allowed to be able to receive everything that you did as a result of that, just to actually be here with everything.
Yeah.
Just honking, croaking.
So it was kind of interesting that, yeah, so making that commitment again and then this morning and then coming out in here and being the croak and the honk.
And yeah, just being that, just, you know, like there's no separation.
Yeah, exactly. Boy.
Ain't any better than that.
It sure is better than that kind of funky somewhere or somehow, you know, illusionary life that,
yeah, to miss out on all that's here for that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to honk.
Well, thanks for honking.
Chris. having just come from airport spiritual practice opportunities.
And then different kinds of honking there.
What's that?
Different kinds of honking there.
Yeah, very different kinds of honking there. Yeah. This is the same.
Yeah, that's the same.
Sometimes a little more intense and a different variety of honking, mm-hmm. but honking nevertheless. And looking a lot at what came up in a conversation a couple of days ago of that place in practice where I know that there's an identity going on, so there's some degree of identity that's happening, but I'm aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation was about how that's a really powerful place to be. Mm-hmm. And then looking at how conditioning really looks at it entirely the opposite. Mm-hmm. That if there's any identity going on, even a little sliver, that's curtains. You know, that's just the end of the line. That's, and, you know, you're not doing spiritual practice. It's just the entree for, you know, the focus goes there and that's that. And it doesn't matter if, you know, if it's just a little sliver or if it's just completely identified and operating out of unconsciousness, that it tends to go there. So noticing that there's, that just happens a lot, that awareness of some identity that's going on, and then there's some, you know, kind of somewhere similar in between.
If I get you, the steps are you're noticing that there's some identity there, and that immediately is there, even if there's a sliver or if there's a whole full-blown identification, somehow that's curtains, that's not...
Yeah,
it doesn't... Conditioning doesn't see it as a, oh, it's a really powerful place to be in practice.
Yeah, it doesn't count as spiritual practice. It's just like, well, and brushes it all aside, and it's, yeah, so there goes, you know, 95% of my life, you know, out the door. And and so it's just really helpful to be learning how to enjoy that not knowing in that place, or that no, there's nothing definite about it. And the sensations and the kind of pushes and pulls that are going, it's just learning to be there and to be okay with all that. It just does seem really powerful to me.
Yeah, the ability to be aware of that, to be residing in that, even embracing that. If I'm following what you're saying, is that you noticing that it's going on and being okay with that allows it to be enfolded in.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay.
Yeah.
This is okay. Because otherwise, what's going to happen is conditioning is just going to brush, you know, your life aside for, you know, it's like this 95% of your time just doesn't count. So, you know, like, well, who's making that assessment? And,
exactly.
Like, what's going on here? Yeah. Why is this suddenly being turned into not okay?
Yeah. And then seeing that for what it is pulls that all back into my life, basically.
Right.
And that it's all okay.
It's a powerful place to be in practice.
Yeah.
So that it pulls all back into okay.
Yeah, exactly. There's something else too, but I can't. It just seems to vanish, so. Oh, well. If it comes back. Oh, actually, there's one thing. It's not related. It's another topic. I can see too how, being diligent with practice, it's like the content would be I'm taking a shower this morning, right? And I've marked the clock so I know when my 20 minutes is up, and 20 minutes is usually plenty of time. I can just see how conditioning is coming in with these little things, like in the middle of the shower, the hot water stops. And I think I just had it turned down a little bit too low. So, and then right away conditioning comes in and goes, well, you're not going to be able to make that 20 minutes. Just any little thing like that. And how it brushes aside, again, it just brushes aside the, you know, the part of me that feels, wants to keep that commitment, wants to have that be a part of spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And and at the same time, I can feel the, you know, like life suggesting, the mentor coming through and saying something like, well, just take a few things off the list, mm-hmm. to get out of there under 20 minutes. So don't do everything that you know was supposed to happen during the 20 minutes, and, mm-hmm. you know, just like that, and no urgency or anything that goes along with it, but just that. And then conditioning, you know, right? Well, you know, oh no, we're going to do those things, and we're just not going to make the commitment. So just another place of interest in spiritual practice.
Yeah,
so, just good reminder. Yeah.
Yeah, just that meet back and forth, shifting back and forth, paying attention to what's going on as. Just a simple thing like the hot water cuts out and all of a sudden, you know, like conditioning is going to come in with what it has to say about the situation, and being able to access the mentor and having that piece of information, and then conditioning comes in and says, no, we're not going to keep that commitment. It's just,
yeah.
So no reason to be bored, really.
For certain.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Penny.
It reminds me of a while ago, Sherry recommended that I read a particular book. And so the book starts out essentially by saying, everything you know how to do to work toward enlightenment won't work. And it's just, you know, what conditioning wants to do with that is say, well, give it up, you know. And when I read it, it was interesting because what I got was how kind that is, actually. It starts out kind because what it's saying is, you have to start with where you are. Mm-hmm. And where you are isn't where you want to go. And it actually, in some ways, doesn't lead to where you want to go, but what else are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Really? Because that's where you are.
Yeah, yeah. So it just reminded me of what was just being spoken of, that, you know, that. The conditioning wants to take away, you know, sort of the what you have available at the moment, mm-hmm. and what the message felt to me of, well, you know, actually, I think if I had read this book without being in practice, mm-hmm. I would have said, well, then close the book, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So actually, reading it from the perspective of practice, I could see that it was kind. I don't really see that it was kind, by the way.
Uh-huh. That it would have been interpreted as something just to, that's it.
Yeah. And it reminds me of you know, that what is often referred to here about that, you know, you make this effort, mm-hmm. knowing that the effort won't get you there, but without making the effort,
right.
you won't get to wherever, uh-huh. wherever that is.
Uh-huh.
So, that, anyway, I was just reminded of that. And really the invitation always just to be where we are, because where else are we going to be? Regardless of how hopeless conditioning tells us that place is.
Yes, because conditioning will tell us how hopeless that really is.
Yeah.
And to be always in the place of where we are.
Yeah.
Is a really powerful place, and a kind.
And kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I another thing that feels related to that was that, so I've been recently asked to do something that I don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that where conditioning would take it is either, so you don't know how to do this, so don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or figure out how to do it and pretend, take the posture that I know how to do this,
mm-hmm.
and how unhelpful both of those postures are.
Uh-huh.
And where, and what, and the only thing really available is, I don't know how to do it, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, it somehow, it just feels like it's relating to the reading of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the,
very.
You know, it's just like the going towards something, you need to make the effort to go there, but the very effort is going to keep you from it, but you need to make the effort. So It's yeah. almost like it depends on where you're coming from as you're doing that.
Exactly. And it really, as you reflect that, what I'm hearing that is, it's about showing up. Mm-hmm. Which is very different than, I think I know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Because it requires an eye to know where I'm going, and in showing up, you may not know where you're going. You, know, right. you could pretend to know where you're going, or you can...
Or you can say,
I don't want to go.
That's right.
Yeah, but either way, it's like, it's very related to what's been said so far. It's like showing up here, I can take a step.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to the lettuce.
The what?
Lettuce. So I was in that listening. part of what feels like happens when we show up is that which is irrepressible in us has a chance. And so I was in the garden this morning, and those little lettuces we cut off, there are 36 of them.
36?
That are regrowing. Wow. And I tell you, it almost brings me to tears.
Wow.
You know, here's this little cut-off, dead-looking thing, and then these little sprouts start. And some of them are pretty big now.
Wow.
But it just makes me want to cheer.
I just think
it's so remarkable. And it's to me, it's like a, you know, it's like a portrait of what's uh-huh. trying to happen.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it happens after we feel like we've been
good levels.
but it's like what's always there, willing to happen if we just give it a chance.
Yeah, it's like the lettuce showing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It can't make it grow any faster, but it also just wants to.
It wants to, yeah.
Thank
you. Wonder.
Well, that was very neat because I just had a little insight about showing up that one could also look at it as not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That showing up for life in the sense of life is happening anyway.
Right. Might as well.
And what conditioning wants us to do is leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to actually stay present in whatever is going on is showing up.
Exactly.
By not leaving. And I think that it comes to me because a lot of what I watch condition you is distract me, is move me off, is, want to be somewhere other than, and it doesn't even frame it like that. It just says, and goes on with some kind of story that gets my attention, grabs my attention.
Yeah.
So that was just really fun. I'm going to be looking at that some more.
You're constantly showing up moment by moment by moment.
Yeah, not leaving. You're here.
Yeah. Because it would like to get us dragged off into some sort of distraction so that just pulls away and then we have to keep coming back. So it's instead of leaving, we stay. It's a moment by moment by moment. Thank you. Amy.
I love that about the lettuce in the garden growing and using that as a metaphor for what's happening internally, and that that growth is just it wants to happen. I'm feeling really happy and grateful this morning. And so I wanted to give a voice to that. I've been spending some time over the past months of being in a place of just really seeing conditioning network with the something wrong campaign, and then spending some time sort of in analysis of that and trying to weed out conditioning and determine what the true story is. And I just reached a point with it where I just don't care.
I can just see them with the little campaign lying, and it's like, wait a minute. She's lost interest.
if there's some valid point in there, it just doesn't matter.
Right.
And if I'm going to believe some story, I'd rather believe the one that it's just all been unfolding perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm choosing today.
Wow.
So that's just all unfolding perfectly.
Uh-huh. It's all unfolding perfectly, and to be here, where the real story is, rather than in whatever conditioning is campaigning about, seems to be a real testament to directing the attention away from what it wants us to focus on. And trying, it's so interesting because it would try to have us weed out what's what in all of that, and of losing interest.
Yeah.
You know, just,
it just doesn't
whatever.
Matter.
It's like, I just picture that looking in the mirror and saying, whatever.
Conditioning has an idea about what being in the monastery is supposed to be like. And what's so interesting is I can't really see it so much until I get here. Like, yeah, there's another process before I get here.
Uh-huh.
But then the process when I get here is okay, all right, what's, you know, starting thinking, worrying, figuring out, oh, here's this time that you can really dedicate to getting clear on.
That's the preparation.
Yeah, that's like what, how conditioning keeps me from being here.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, like it doesn't have the same sorts of distractions that it can have, you know, out in the world, but
yeah.
It's other set of distractions. It's just a different strategy.
Exactly. So. Like, yeah, what can you get out of being here, and what kind of tact are you going to take while you're here?
Yeah.
Just like, wait a minute, I'm just out of here.
Yeah, and then today I was just like, no, I don't want to figure need. I don't want to do the figure out thing. I don't want to, you know. No, I'm not. I don't. No, I'm not doing it. So it was just. It just frames it. It's so pseudo-Zen. It's like, oh, what are you gonna get clear on? You know, what piece of content? Is so
are
important.
The process.
Yeah, this thing you've been struggling with. You've just really spent some intense period of time working on it. You know. Yeah, and instead, you know, it's like if I was going to have a project while I'm here, it like dropped in as like getting to know myself a little better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was listening to some of my recordings and I was like, wow, you know, that's interesting. You know, it was just really nice to just have some time to just listen to my recordings. And out there, it's a lot more believable. You need to do this. You need to spend enough time.
Yeah, it's just like all these reasons for not and doing that instead of that, and you got to get something out of this. And it's almost like what I just heard shared was like that. It's like I'm dropping what conditioning has in store for me for the real story, which is the recordings that you were listening to.
Yeah,
like getting here and finding out what's actually so, rather than what you need to do or what you have to do. What making really good use of your time here is all about.
Yeah, and instead of whenever conditioning or whenever something comes in of what about, you know, I don't want to figure out if that's a valuable thing to think about or not a valuable thing. I don't care. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, it can wait a week. You know, it can wait.
Yeah.
It's
maybe it's still valuable then, just pick it up.
It'll show up again, you know. So it's I feel very grateful to have this place to come to be able to where conditioning strategies aren't as believable as they are.
They come up and they're just obvious.
Yeah.
And it can be.
Like, yeah.
Sounds like they just started coming in with their full campaign about how to be here.
Yeah.
And just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. What's a valuable use of my time? Mm-hmm. It has all kinds of ideas about that.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't care. Yeah. So it's that's really nice. And I just feel also that
my experience of life is that when life is trying to tell me something, it will keep saying it until I hear it. You know, and what conditioning wants me to believe is that if I don't hear it that once, then it's never going to come back again. So I have to be very, like, my karma is very vigilant and, you know, feeling all this pressure that it's like up to me, this whole thing. And just to remind myself that that's not my experience of life. My experience of life is that life is patient and persistent.
Patient and persistent.
Yeah. So it's just good to learn.
Do you have a recording of that?
You know, it's funny because I was listening to some, like, recordings more than I have in the past. Like, when I'm out in the world, I'm like, okay, record and listen, all right, let's start the day. You know, it's, and, you know, I'm not like, I don't make as much time to, or conditioning doesn't let me make as much time to just go through the recordings. And what's so neat is that it, I just keep saying the same thing a lot of the time. And I'm like, wow. And then I listen to it like a couple more, and I'm like, oh wow, like there it is again, and it's again this. It was sort of I think this kind of wow, like I keep it keeps coming back.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Wow, that's so neat because you can just trust that it will come back. It's almost like it has to be so vigilant because it's so afraid that it's going to miss something. It's only going to. It just keeps. It's the same. It's the same message from always.
Yeah, it's like this tension of like holding on,
yeah.
You know, as if I were to let go.
Something
really, like what usually does, something really awful will happen.
Mm-hmm.
If not to me, it will use my hook on to alcohol.
That's right.
But I feel like I saw something with the recording today that is sort of, again, something I will never forget, but. It's just that it was so touching to just hear myself at various different points in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just hearing myself along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being able to, I don't know, it felt really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this recording and listening long enough that, at least me, I've been doing it long enough that I can go back, like, you know, like a year, you know, and hear what was going on for me then.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's touching.
Yeah. There's that person doing whatever that person was doing a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And here's, you know, you might get a recording that's more recent, and it's just touching to see, you know, what all that we've gone through, all that's happened, that a lot of things are basically the same.
Yeah.
And the things that you need to hear and know about yourself.
Yeah. So that was really nice. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Judy.
Well, I feel kind of like a beginner this morning. I think I just am getting it that this is awareness practice. It's not get it right practice. It's not be the person you should be practice.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those things. It's awareness practice. And so often when I share something in here, it's a tactic to counter her conditioning strategy of, you know, burying me in suffering. And so I will reveal whatever it's doing to me all the time. And sometimes it strengthens the awareness muscle and strengthens the take care of this person. Sometimes there's backlash and it goes the other way. Resistance, the behavior, or whatever it is, the voices, whatever. And so one is successful and one is failure.
Mm, right, if you can dislodge it and get centered, then it's successful. If you get backlashed and it's just worse mm-hmm. than ever, then it's failure.
Yeah.
Is that how it works
out? Yeah.
yes,
and there's no predicting it.
Right.
And so I think I might lose interest. I think the strategy of, I don't care what happens after I say something good. Something will. Mm-hmm. And it is my habit, it is a habit to engage with it on some level. Mm-hmm. I think I'm always interested in caring about it.
Yeah, that it can...
Which is kind of a three-step thing. Yeah.
That it can just do... Just, it's going to do something. It's going to, you know, either leave you alone or not. And yeah. So why... It's going to be like whatever. It's going to be, who cares?
Yeah.
You're not going to give it any of your attention.
Yeah.
You're not going to engage with it.
So that's all my preface to the world. I'm going to reveal something.
This is your chance to learn excuse and practice with
it. See, here it goes from there. Or not. Part of the karma of this person is, as I have said so many times in here, doing something that is only for this person gets very backburnered, or not even that. You know, the words for it, the sort of psychology words for it is, I'm just not a self-starter. And I can see how that isn't true with certain things, but with other things where only I am involved, and it just doesn't go, it just doesn't fly.
It gets backburned.
Yeah, and that's been, I've held that as a big problem. It's a big spiritual puzzle that I need to solve, and a big practice place where I am wrong in bed. And so, and then wondering why it doesn't change, why there's no movement in that area. It's, of course, because the conditioning has me exactly where it wants me. Why let up if you're in a perfect trap?
Right.
Why let you up? So, just in this conversation this morning, what has been so apparent is, it's not a problem not to be a self-starter. It's a problem to make a problem out of it. If I want to do something about it, just ask for help. It's not a personal failing not to be a self-starter. Ask for help. That brings up a lot of emotion.
Yeah, because that's even within all of that, the conditioning is that there are certain rules you need to play with within that whole structure, which what I'm hearing you say is help wasn't an option. Is that
well,
right?
I get talked out of it.
Because it's part of the perfect trap.
Yeah, if you're the right person, you don't ask for help. I mean, it's such a simple problem. Get up and exercise. Or, I don't know, clean the kitchen, whatever it is. But when that karma of that inertia is there, there's no moving. There's no moving.
Right.
And,
it gets you not to move, and then it comes in later.
And
beats you up for not moving.
Yeah, it's totally.
Perfect, yeah.
Quit caring about it.
Right.
And when it's something that a huge part of me really wants to do, and it really feels like it's coming from a bad place, and it doesn't happen, get help with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what I hear you saying is there are two parts. It's the phrase that I love so much. It's like, I love you exactly as you are, and I hope you become any way you want to be. It's like, you, without the caring in the sense of like, I'm going to allow conditioning to come in and, you know, basically turn this whole over into a place of suffering. It's like, no, I love this being more than I care about what you have to say. And so just to reside there. And then the help is like, well, what can I do? And outside that place, it's like, it's literally the next step. It's like taking, it's dropping and being here. Because here will inform what's available. Does that kind of relate to it at all? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it related very precisely.
Cool.
So, so we'll see what it has to say as I walk by the room.
Yeah, and you get to practice your not caring muscles.
Oh, is that what you have to say? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very good. Thank you. Jen.
So that is so great, all of it. Because what I've been seeing is because it's not me. It's not me, any of that. And that, you know, I just hear what so many people are saying. That place of taking it personally, basically. Mm-hmm. Am I doing well? Am I not doing well? Am I seeing, and I'm like, am I living life or am I looking to it? Am I?
Right.
I mean, that whole entire umbrella of process is it.
Yes.
Is egocentric kind of conditioning.
Exactly. It's just ego trying to figure out is it ego or is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been enjoying practicing recently. Actually, it's an experience of bliss for me, of really relaxing and just seeing what ego is doing. Mm-hmm. And I can think of a couple really good karmic triggers where I've been practicing with it. One is, let's see, I'm going to be overarching. It's so clear right before I... comparing.
Uh-huh.
Comparing. Wow. And it's, for a long time I called this, quote, aspect of the personality dolphin, but I think actually it's just pure egocentric karmic conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I called it dolphin is that, you know, bouncing the sonar off of, like, to, I think,
oh,
like,
to see if my head's
like... I don't really know, but... but kind of that process of where am I, who am I?
Uh-huh. Yeah, bouncing getting the feedback from external sources or how other people are doing. It's more about how, it's the interpretation that's coming back at you.
Exactly, exactly. And so it seemed like, of course, it's in a funny sort of irony, all of the focus is external, but of course it's incredibly internal in the sense of it's all, it's ego referencing.
Right.
It's ego referencing.
It's almost like the image comes back and it solidifies where it is or what it looks like.
Yes.
It's almost like it's drawing it.
So ego is using everything, projecting everything out there to identify itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if I believe that's me, it feels like, oh, that means I'm good. Okay, I can, that means I'm bad. You know, so it's this constant, like life is kind of dangerous and difficult because of course that objects, if you will, I mean, it's people, but it's everything really, circumstances, it's whatever, is constantly in flux. That's just the nature of things. And so that's a very difficult, painful way to live.
Yeah, because when you identify with it, it basically defines who you are, and conditioning has a way of, you know, either the way I would call it is like I'm having a good day or I'm having a bad day, you know, and life is dangerous or I'm on top and everything's great.
But I'm on top, everything's great, is like the children in the burning building.
Oh, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just a setup for, you know, the lowest of the low.
And that's one of the things that's actually assisted is that that's always clear to me now. like in the woohoo, you know, that is like, ooh, that's children in a bird. Those guys need to be supervised. They're going nowhere good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's so the comparing, and then the other situation would be like where, oh, looking for approval would be a kind of an overarching way to say it. And so really enjoying in both of those places where a lot of suffering can happen. I don't know how else to describe it, but just letting that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting, and letting is such a funny word, because I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching conditioning do what it does,
mm-hmm.
and attempt to make me feel certain ways, and even I could say it does have me feel certain ways, like
mm-hmm.
it does create sensations in the body, or
mm-hmm.
even I mean emotions, which is a funny word to use there when we're watching at that level, because without an identification with the emotion, I'm not even sure there is an emotion there.
Right.
But
noticing that there are sensations and is your experience of letting it more like, the way we're meant to be with it is we're supposed to respond to it in a particular way and to go down the track.
Yeah.
And letting it is more like there's everything happening, but there isn't the typical response.
Yeah.
Action
I think it's, that's helpful because it's related to, I was seeing recently, I think I wrote about this actually in the newsletter article, but that we're always participating in something.
Right.
And so often we're participating in suffering. Suffering requires our participation.
Right.
And so in that, realizing, wow, that's pretty amazing. So what I can do is to watch for my participation.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like there are elements of it that I have no influence over, like the thoughts in the head, or the body sensations. And so, if suffering requires my participation, suffering must not be in those things, because I'm not creating those.
Right.
So the place where I can end the suffering is to withdraw my participation. And that's what I heard in what you were just saying, that just watching it all go on, but not jumping on board and participating.
Yeah.
So it's in there comparing and say, I'm not as good as him, I'm better than her, whatever. And then, of course, well, what are you doing?
There's
no harm. Your entire life is dedicated to spiritual practice, and you're assessing whether you're good. You know,
right. That's a good one.
And all of it is not me.
Uh-huh. Right.
And just letting all of it be is this really an incredible feeling of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Because it no longer has me in the relationship of, I gotta do something about that.
Right, which is part of the trap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's something wrong, you need to fix this, this is going on, it's not supposed to be, and clearly you need to do something about it, but you're not. And so it's that whole, I keep hearing this, it's completely disinterested in it.
Yeah.
It's like watching it from the corner of your eye, being plugged in, which is where the bliss is. It's like, here you are with life, and it's like, this is all happening over here, great.
Yeah. And it's so fun because it's like, wow, this works, you know? And then to really, really stay there and not go to, I can make this work.
Woo-hoo, I'm on top now. That's the burning building slogan.
It's just so amazing because cultivating that willingness to not take any of it personally.
Yeah.
So when it goes down that track,
and
they go to the burning building, you know? It's back to what someone was saying earlier. It's all unfolding perfectly. Well, I guess we need to go back in the burning building again. Because there was something we hadn't seen in some corner or somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's what I keep hearing too is just the showing up in all of that too. It's like the only way, quote unquote, to lose in any of this is to buy into it, shut the book, you know, and say, well, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Cameron?
I've been looking at kind of, it seems like in the terms of what people are talking about today, about seeing, not caring, you know, realizing that a way to be free of suffering is just not to care about it, you know, it's just the same old honking as we started the thing, you know. But I've been looking at the kind of the opposite of that, in that, you know, realizing that life, everything that exists is here in life, it's available, mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And so recently, Sherry quoted some spiritual teacher was asked a question. Apparently they needed a lot of money for a project or something, and somebody said, "Well, where's that money? Where's that money going to come from?" And the spiritual teacher said, "Well, from wherever it is now." And so that must have kind of hung on somewhere, because what I realized recently is that there are a lot of areas in my life where there's a lot of something, you know, happening, you know, like, you know, that I might want to drop. But I was thinking about what is available in life that's not in my experience or in my sphere of daily experience, because I'm just not creating an opening for it.
Uh-huh. Or it's filled up with focusing on what's not working.
That's part of why there might not be an opening. Yeah. So what I started thinking about my entire life I've never really had financial, I've never experienced financial abundance. Mm-hmm. I look at it a different way, and I feel rich and wealthy and abundant in so many things that, you know, everything is good. Mm-hmm. But everything could be good. I could be appreciating the sunshine and everything about life and still have money too. It's what I got to.
Right, they're not mutually exclusive.
It's you know, like we have money to drive to San Francisco and go to a symphony or something like that. That would just, I love things like that, but I just don't do them because I don't have that kind of money. Uh-huh. Especially now, it costs a really lot to do anything like that. It's amazing. And so I just started to not in a way that I need this in order to be happy or it's for me, because what I see is the more money I have, the more I can share and put into things that I value, you know, in addition to going to a concert once. And so I'm just starting to, I'm realizing in even just kind of to visualize what that would feel like to be lit up and happy and enjoying this. And then, you know, I go to the post office and open the mail, and there's an envelope with a check in it, or two or three envelopes with checks in it or something. You know, and what I could do with that, and just kind of allowing that to play in my in my being and visualizing. And I realized, wow. You know, I'm putting some energy into possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, not that, I don't think checks are just going to start. I think I have a little bit
more than that.
But still, I mean, the possibility of even that has not been there. Mm-hmm. And so instead of not caring, you know, to put it in the words we've been using, it's kind of to open up to caring about some things that have just been pushed aside either not important to care about, or maybe I'm not worth having it, or whatever. Yeah. You know, just
exactly. Well, in the way that we've been talking about, putting our attention on caring on what the voices and conditioning have to say, your caring attention now goes to something that you actually do want in your life, rather than something that's completely not working.
Yeah. And it's been really. I mean, that just started. It's kind of new, but it really feels fun. You know. It really feels fun, and it really feels like the kind of, you know, the whole thing about it without a change in behavior, you know, the consciousness. Well, this is probably part consciousness and part behavior, in that I'm actually putting some energy into, you know, kind of allowing these possibilities to ruminate.
Oh, absolutely. I just hear that it completely dropped in, and now you're ready to, you know, put some behavior into it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very helpful because I signed up to be one of the 300 for 1,000.
Great timing.
I knew, you know, I didn't make even the 500 on the last one, so I've got some making up to do. So this is a way I think it all is part of that process. And it feels like a really nice beginning just to start opening to, wow, you know, this could happen. It could be nice. Mm-hmm. I could contribute more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then focusing on what's actually possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the quotes, you know, that it's out there somewhere. I'm just going to go look for it.
And it is.
Yeah, you're going to keep your eyes out on that.
I mean, there is so much money wasted that I could do better with. Volunteer to help out with, you know, recycle some of that stuff. That.
Yes, exactly. That's great. Thanks, Karen. Thank you.
So I've been watching an interesting process as we've been talking this morning, which is just that I've really been enjoying sitting here and listening and what everybody's saying, and you know, and I'm just fine with that. And conditioning says yes, but what are you, you know, what are you going to talk about? How does all this relate to you? What are you, you know, what you have to do something.
Sitting here is just fine and good, mm-hmm. but what are you going
to
do?
Right. It's like it doesn't count to be here. You're not participating. You're not really here unless you're saying something, unless you're doing something. Mm-hmm. But to just sit here and enjoy it is not somehow good enough.
Right. Why don't you just see that painted out through our entire lives?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like, all this doesn't count.
Right.
This one thing that it claims is important.
Right. Right.
It's all that matters. And yeah. You get to walk out of here and, well, that was a little
stupid. Right, you didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw it this morning in another way. It was such a beautiful morning, and I just had this impetus to take my camera and go out in my property and take pictures. You know, and I was so loving just seeing things through literally a different lens, you know, and just wow, you know, and catch, you know, the daffodil will catch my eye, or the rosemary bushes, or the cat, or whatever, and I was just so much enjoying it. And then after it was time to stop, and the book that said, well, so what are you going to do with those?
Right.
You know, are you going to make something out of them? You know, could
you
they make
your parent?
Could they make money? You know, could you make money with those?
Exactly. What are you going to do with your life?
It's like, you know, so you just took pictures, you know, put them on the computer and look at them, and so what? You know?
Thank you.
That was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Party pooper.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much karma towards doing, you know, mm-hmm. produce, do, get credit for, show off. I mean, you know, have something to show for yourself, for God's sakes, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't just enjoy life.
Get out there and do something.
That's right, yeah. Do something productive, you know. Uh-huh. And it's just as if I haven't been spending a great deal of my time this week doing something productive, but... You know, so
again, it doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count because I don't know why. It wasn't my idea or something. I don't know why. I don't know why it doesn't count. But
it's amazing to see how much it just doesn't count. Yeah. It's like that 95%
yeah.
you just talked about yeah. earlier. It's like it all just gets folded into there, and if we go along with it, there goes our life.
Right.
You know, I mean, and enjoyment. No wonder enjoyment gets like, you know, this much of a sliver.
Yeah.
You know, because it's got to be something other than.
Right, and you know, who's deciding what counts? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't count to show up in group and sit there and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't count. It doesn't. I don't know. It's just bizarre. Huh? yeah. And it was also clear to me. I don't know, something that was said earlier in the group, and I don't remember now what it was, but it really resonated with my experience of meditation this morning, which was just watching everything that was going on, you know, mm-hmm. and how busy it is and how constant it is and how clearly it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't originate any of those thoughts.
Right, you didn't sit down and say, I'm going to be thinking about this, that, and the other thing, and I intend to do that.
I know, it's like all of a sudden I realized I was thinking about something, and it was like, really, where did that come from? It's just so clear that it's not me.
Yeah.
That it's not personal, that it's just noise. It's just, which is really what the why don't you do something is too.
Right, yeah. It's just that it has this particular place that it lands, and then we have to respond to that in some way, and then be, our life experience gets altered because of the attention put on it, and what happens as a result of that.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of, I think it was the last day of the Making a Change for Good, the 30-day retreat. So something to do something every day specifically for you. It sounds like the enjoyment thing, and it's like anything that gets labeled as it's just enjoyment. Or,
that's just being kind.
That's just being kind. It's like, I picture this long list of all those things. Like, wow, that's, I'm going to torture conditioning today. Focus on all these.
Yeah.
I'm going to do these. Mm-hmm. How about I do these?
Yeah, and I would say, then when are you going to do the other thing that you're supposed to do?
Exactly, yeah.
I just saw one really significant quick thing on that, which is that, that what doesn't count is what doesn't reflect I. And like that's so perfect, that off the cuff comment, but that's so it. It wasn't my idea, so it doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's not mine, it's not me, I'm not originating it, it's not whatever, then it's not worth it. Right? It's all referencing egos. And it's so
true.
That is just such a it's just a suffering place. It's no wonder we suffer. It's just such a dead place to live.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it's like, and it's just, when you just said that, I just pictured the entire world and why it's in the situation that it's in right now. It's like, what does that river have anything to do with me? I'm just, I'm not going to be alive for when it's, poisoning, whatever.
And this is mine and my viewpoint and my land, and you have the same idea that it's yours and you, so we have to.
I need the, just everything. So true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
I want to say one other, or maybe two other little things about inertia. it really doesn't work to meet inertia with resistance. Fighting against inertia is a total dead end. There will never be any movement. It's a guarantee. I've never seen that. It's all it doing it to itself, so that this person thinks that it's somebody here doing it.
Right.
And what a kind of adventure it might be to, and I don't quite know the words, I can feel ego in me, it's just going to grab this, but something about just kind of getting fascinated by inertia, which, and I determined to get fascinated by other things, and ego takes it over and just gets fascinated and falsely fascinated. Uh-huh. But there's, I don't know if there's anything fascinating about inertia.
But I hear you saying that you're going to become the foremost expert on inertia.
Well, I mean, there's a way in which I is.
I hear that's pretty creating it. Is that true?
Say it again.
Oh, an expert in creating it.
In creating.
Creating it, not interested in it, because it sounds like the minute you get interested in it, you start to get sleepy.
Yeah, well, it's one of those, because another part of karma is whatever I focus on, it kind of internalize it. And so, even if I'm not feeling inert, if I start focusing on it, it descends and kind of takes over. So it's a real good kind of womp. It's going to just kind of stay present and see where what happens.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just gonna. It sounds like. Well, the perspective is like if you're gonna be watching it and seeing how it all works, then you know part of it's gonna be getting caught up into it. It's almost like what you shared about like you share something in group and you have one response. If energy moves and if you get pummeled for it, then that's a whole different experience. But I guess the only way you're gonna find out anything about it is to kind of get in there with it.
Get in there with it in a different way.
Yes.
From that door that usually opens over here that looks like the right door, right. But it never is, has never been. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you do this, what happens? If you do that, what happens? If you ignore it, what happens? If you get up and shake a leg. And, Thank you all. That's our time.